Lord willing, on Sunday afternoons, when we don't have the singing, and wherever Jack doesn't bring the lesson, as he does every month on one of the Sunday evenings, I'll be presenting a series of lessons on the parables of Jesus. I think that sometimes it may be the idea of some that's relegated to children. And there's such profound teaching that Jesus gives in these parables. I think they're so needful today. They're needful at any time. And you can get deep into them, and sometimes I think some have gone too deep. I'll comment on that more in just a moment. But I want us to think about why Jesus taught in parables. We'll look at Matthew the 13th chapter in just a moment. Of course, Jesus gives an answer to that, but I think there's some other things involved too. Where we look at the word parable in the Greek, it is a similitude, fictitious narrative, apothegm, adage, comparison figure, parable, proverb. That's the definition of the term, where you look and see what Thayer has to say in connection with that particular word. He says that it is a placing of one thing by the side of another, juxtaposition, as of ships in battle. And so being side by side in the analogy that he gives there. And Jesus was asked, as we come down to Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 10 through 17, Matthew 13, 10 through 17, asked by his disciples, why do you teach in parables? Before we go to his answer, because his answer really fits with some other things that I think we need to consider. There had been 400 years of silence as far as a teacher, a prophet to Israel. That is from the time of the writing of Malachi until the time of the coming of John the Baptizer. And in that period of time, because there was not a preacher, because there was not a prophet, one that proclaimed, verbally proclaimed the Word of God, they had invented to themselves doctrines, traditions, and so forth that really they put in place of the teaching of God's Word, which was present before them in the Old Law that they had record of. But yet, because there was no proclaimer of the Word, well, then they invented for themselves those traditions. And now Jesus comes onto the scene. And as he begins to teach, and I think with that thought in mind, people that are not founded on the Word of God, he's teaching to those that have been devoid of the hearing of the Word of God all of their lives. And so how is he going to teach a people that are infantile in their understanding, ignorant really of God's law? Well, he does it with parables. And he says it this way. His disciples ask him, Matthew 13 and verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now, stop right there for a moment. Jesus is not saying, I don't want everyone to understand this. That's not what he's saying. Jesus was the master teacher and wanted all to understand, but yet he understood too that there would be those that would trust more in the traditions of the fathers and the traditions of the teaching and all the doctrines that they had come up with and all the writings that they had come up with, verbal tradition and so forth, that there would be those that would reject the true Word of God when they would hear it, even through parables, but yet to those that would want to follow after the truth, those that hungered and thirst after righteousness that Jesus mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew the 5th chapter, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they would understand because they would come to accept God's Word as truth. And so he says, For whoever has, to him will be given more. That heart that desires to hear God's Word, that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, and he will have abundance. And I think that's important for us to understand today also, just as he spoke back then. We can carry into the depths of understanding and such teaching that is so profound into our lives, or we can be just very simple with the things that God has to say. we can grow even in the simplest thing that is presented in these parables. And he says, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And you think back to the Jews of this time, did not have a desire to hear the word and to follow after God, and taken from them then was the truth because of their own attitude. They rejected the truth. He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, not talking about bifocals, Derek, but he's talking there about, of course, understanding. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Those that will not reject, or those that will reject God's word and will not come to the truth. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. And that grown dull, whenever you look in the Greek there, is waxed fat. It cannot do its job. A heart then that is hardened because it is so fat, because it will not receive God's word. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. And in all of those, you have active voice that Jesus is speaking in, as far as those that either accept or reject. Both are in the active. It is a choice. It's not in the passive. And he says then to those that are asking him, his disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and do not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. That is also stated in different ways. Where if you look back to the statement that is made in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, concerning the faithful. And the writer there at the end of that book, as he considers the faithful and makes a presentation of all these great men and women that have walked by faith. And he talks about them and he says, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. This is Hebrews 11, verse 35, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through their faith, they did not receive the promise. And the promise here that the Hebrew writer is talking about is the very thing that Jesus had mentioned. And that is being under the new covenant, being under the direction and leadership of the Messiah, and all the promises that he made by the shedding of his blood. God having provided something better for us, those of us that are living now in the last days under this new covenant, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And what he means is the coming of Christ. And so the Hebrew writer talks about that, and Peter also talks about it. As he mentions the prophets that looked into their prophesying but yet did not receive nor really understand the words that were written to them. And so when we look at these parables as we go into them, by the way, I want to mention this as we look in 1 Corinthians 2 verses 13 through 16. In all teaching of God's word, we look for teaching that directs us spiritually, because if we are directed spiritually, that is of the mind and of the heart. And if we receive from the mind and the heart what God would have us to do, well, then our bodies will follow, because we will train our bodies by our mind and by our heart to do God's will. And so Paul says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And there you have a comparison that brings us back to the center point of Christ Jesus in connection with things that are spiritual. The natural man does not receive these things. That's the people that had the hard heart and ears that would not hear and eyes that would not see that Jesus spoke of. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one, and that is judged by God and not by man's standards. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? but we have the mind of Christ. As we go through and think about these parables that have that has been given for us and preserved for us in the New Testament, what I don't want to do is overwork parables. And I think that there's a habit where preachers will take a parable and try to make everything stand for something. And in all of that, they miss the total overall message that is being given in the parable. We're not going to do that. Elders, Daryl, you're the only elder here today. The other one is gone. You see me getting into too much example giving in parables, you call me down on that. Let's listen to the message of the parables that are given. And so what we're going to do in this lesson, and we're going to stop right here, we're going to present, as I bring these lessons, the parables of Jesus in approximate chronological order, as He gave them. Not necessarily as they are written in the Gospels, but as He gave them, where you look at it as a whole. And I think we find something out about that also as time goes on in the work of Christ upon the earth. As time goes on with those that are hearing and those that are following Him around, some of the growth process is evident just by the different parables that He gives. And it should be evident in our life. Sandy, go ahead and come on in. Maybe those here this evening, let us never be like Israel. As Isaiah is speaking by the inspiration of God in Isaiah 28 and verse 10 and following. Even at that time, God's children, they became disinterested in God's word. And they made the complaint there in Isaiah 28 and verse 10 concerning God's word. Who are these things? I'm going to paraphrase. Who are these things written for? Are they written for the little ones, for the young, for those that don't understand? Because what is written is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And God is saying, this is what you are saying, Israel, not listening to my word. It is simplistic, it is so far beneath us, and it is mundane. And as the teaching goes on there in the 28th chapter, God says to them toward the end of that chapter, they will fall back and they will not believe because the Word of God came to them line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And so it was to them meaningless words. Don't let God's Word be meaningless to you. If you're not a child of God this afternoon, become one. Recognize your lost condition. Render obedience to God through faith with a penitent attitude, naming the name of Christ, being baptized for remission of your sins. If there are any of us here today that have allowed the Word of God to become line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, ask forgiveness. And do exactly as Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright or with precision the word of truth. Come back to the Lord. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.